toutvabienspasser.com.
T'as les sons du Sri Lanka, je te les ai envoyés.
Allô, SOS Détresse Amitié, bonjour. Je vous écoute.
Allô, SOS Détresse. Allô.
Allô. Je ne vous entends pas.
Allô, SOS Détresse. Je suis au bout du rouleau, là. Qu'est-ce que je dois faire?
Allô. Appuyez sur le bouton.
Hello.
Hola, mais...
Piumi?
Hyper bruyant, cette ville.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can, yeah.
Perfect.
Qu'est-ce que c'est que cette ville, alors?
So where do you live at the moment?
I am in Sri Lanka, in the suburbs of Colombo.
The suburbs of Colombo, that's right. The capital.
Yes.
And how is it going in your city at the moment, in the context of the pandemic?
Well, we are sort of we're a few weeks into our third wave now, and we're under lockdown.
Okay, so that means you can't go out? Is it a lockdown situation? Is it strict?
Yeah. Yes, it is quite. So unless you are an essential worker, no one's really going out. There's kind of a police curfew situation, actually.
Since when?
It's been maybe just over a week now, I think, but we've got about a week longer to go. And there's no kind of indication as yet whether they will lift that curfew, which is due to be lifted on the 7th, but we don't really know at the moment.
And have you been affected quite by the Indian variant? Because you're near India, so is that the reason why there's a third wave?
Actually, yeah. I think right now the problem is that we've got this very aggressive airborne version of the virus, which we weren't really prepared for, in the sense that, like, so the Sri Lankan New Year, actually, like the Sinhalese and Tamil community in Sri Lanka, we celebrate our New Year in April. And unfortunately, this year we didn't sort of lock down the country at that point, so people moved around, and you know, before you knew it, it was a major third wave that we weren't really prepared for.
And do you respect the rules, or do you do your own life?
My
family is generally quite, we're quite respectful of the rules, and you know, we stay in when we're told to stay in. But to a certain extent, there are problems with how lockdown works here. Because we do have, daily wage workers. We have, people who don't have the level of privilege or access that some people have to things like, you know, groceries getting delivered and all this kind of thing.
So you're starving.
You know, it is hard for some people. There are measures in place to help people who are, who don't have access to food and things like that. But yes, there is a sort of a situation, and that was the issue that we had from the beginning. Was like, you know, people having access to the things that they need, and, you know, how people who are in that situation of like being daily wage workers, how they kind of, you know, get access to the basic things that they need. And
so do you still work from home? What's your job at the moment?
So I actually started my own business two and a half, three years ago, almost. And so I do that, but things have kind of been slow on that side as well. And I do freelance as well.
As what?
What do you do?
I'm actually a creative writer. My history is in advertising, so I kind of, you know, do a little bit of copywriting, freelance, and some creative consultancy and stuff like that.
And how do you feel with this situation? You spoke about people having trouble to feed themselves, and how do you feel with this situation?
To be honest, for me in particular, like for me specifically rather, I am one of the privileged few, and I'm aware of my privilege in that I have a comfortable home to work from. We have a full fridge. We have, you know, we have access to all the things that we need, and we have money to get those services as well. But there are, like, I mean, there are members of my extended family who are struggling. There are people that we know, you know, people from my mother's work. For example, my mother is the director of sort of a small department store. And there's, you know, people stuck in their warehouse, like, you know, from the opposite end of the country, and they haven't been able to go home. They don't have food. Like, you know, there are people who are stuck because of like a combination of things, irresponsible decision making,
from the government,
just things not having been. Yeah.
How did the government,
you know,
do you think?
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I think the government, you know, makes a lot of blanket decisions, and they don't really kind of, I mean, they attempt to help the people that are struggling, but, you know, in today's context, there's not much you can do with the amount of aid that is offered by the government. And it's hard to even gain access to that. You have to, like, stand in a queue and, you know, all these things. And, like, obviously in this situation, it's difficult to stand in a queue.
Yeah, of course. So you decided to stay in the city during the crisis, the pandemic. What do you miss the most from the time before the pandemic?
I think, I mean, Camille, as you and I know, like, you know, we knew each other from our time in London, and, you know, I've lived overseas, and every time I live overseas, I kind of explore the city quite a bit. And I was, because Sri Lanka is home, I feel like, you know, we don't necessarily do that as much. But I was beginning to do it. I was beginning to kind of, you know, take greater interest and, like, sort of, you know, yeah, I mean, I miss having access to my friends. I miss
exploration,
you know, the ability to travel and explore. Yeah, even if it's within the city, you know, it's everything's restricted and limited.
And do you manage to stay connected to the people around you? Do you call them or see them?
Yeah, I mean, we have the people I'm closest to, we have, like, the occasional video call. We text each day, like, you know, I'm quarantined with my family. So, you know, I have my parents and my sister in the house. And, you know, that's a source of comfort as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, I definitely do miss actually physically seeing people, like, you know, seeing your good friends and stuff.
And last question, how do you see the world going after this whole pandemic situation? Do you think that people have changed somehow, or will they run after the time they lost and consume more?
I think there's a little bit of both, to be honest. In recent years, something that I've noticed is when I was younger, people were a lot less paranoid about things, you know, about their children being out in public, or, like, you know, like just people in general and their levels of paranoia. And now, you know, I feel like this will make a certain kind of person, it will make them even more paranoid and even more anxious about being out and about, you know, if you're someone who is concerned about your health in general, like it will be tough for those people to move on from this. But at the same time, I've seen people who, the minute, you know, they say, okay, well, lockdown's over, they throw a party or, you know, they go out to bars and whatever without enough precautions.
So you feel you will
so
be
it's
more
a little bit of both.
You will be more cautious, or on the contrary, you will feel like you want to live life to its fullest even more than before?
I definitely do want to live life to the fullest, but I think I'd be careful. You know, particularly because my parents are just entering their 60s. You know, they're what you would consider high risk. You know, I can't sort of afford to be completely frivolous. And I don't think anyone should really. But yes, definitely, I think I would appreciate the time that I spend with, like physically spend with my, you know, with my close friends. I would definitely travel more if I could, though I would take the necessary precautions.
So what's the first thing you want to do when you're able to move and do things freely again?
I think one of my very close friends had a baby during the pandemic, actually, like last May. And I haven't really had the chance to spend much time with them since. So I'd probably spend time with people like that, maybe travel a little bit, you know, with my friends and, you know, sort of rebuild that aspect of those relationships, make more memories together, whatever, because, you know, you don't know what the world is going to throw at you next.
Definitely. Thank you very much for speaking with us. You've chosen this song called Rudima Nadgam Gia. I'm probably pronouncing it very wrongly. Can you tell us a bit about it before we listen to it?
Sure. So this is actually a song which is a collaboration between a French-born Sri Lankan artist called Charita Atalage and a friend of mine called Ridhima Veerwardhana. Ridhima is a really great guy, and this song is actually it's a song that I've kind of listened to quite a lot when I want to feel a bit more upbeat. And it's sort of a contemporary classical take on like a sort of everyday situation, and the singer, he's singing about the singer is an actor and he's singing about how he's going to be playing the king in a village play the following day, and it's a very kind of you know, like a very day-to-day situation, but there's so much hope in that song that kind of says, like, you know, tomorrow's going to be awesome. You wait and see. Like, you know, come along. You won't be able to resist.
Something very hopeful to listen to.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope in the song.
Thank you very much for being with us. And
thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, and best of luck with, you know, your life over there in Sri Lanka, and hopefully one day we can visit you and you can come to Europe again.
Yes, definitely. I look forward to that.
Thank you very much, Pyumi. Goodbye.
Bye.